Welcome to Unscripted Wrestling on the Everything Unscripted Network. I am your host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my brother, Doug.
Yo.
Our good buddy, Eric.
What's up?
And our friend, Stevie's here.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How's everyone doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Good.
Awesome. Yeah, we got a stacked show tonight. We're finally getting to do the TNA roster tier rankings of all time. So that's going to be fun. Before we get into that, Doug, you want to hit the plugs?
Well, we might be doing a lot of TNA stuff coming up in the next several months if NBC and Peacock decide to fuck over all the network subscribers, like is being, you know, teased and promised.
That's true.
So we might all have to subscribe to Impact Plus. What am I doing?
Applause.
Oh. That's where I talk about other people's shows, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Make sure to listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, mixer.com/dirtsheetdudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms, usually around 10:15, 10:20-ish Eastern time. They are the perfect podcast to go to sleep to. Boxman's just got that voice that just, those melodious vocal chords just really get you into slumber. Listen to us Friday nights, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Next Friday night, or this upcoming Friday night, we will be doing WrestleMania 10.
Yeah.
The week after that, we will be doing the very last episode of WCW Monday Nitro. On April 2nd, we will be doing a WrestleMania. The poll will go up soon as which WrestleMania you would like us to do. April 9th will be a countdown of our top 10 favorite WrestleMania matches. And then after that, I have no idea because that's when Peacock is supposed to fuck up the network.
So there you go.
No.
We got anything else?
Oh, yeah. These two people that I know do a show on Sundays at 3 p.m. It's called Scaredy Cats.
Yes.
I'm related to both of them.
Yes.
Scaredy
Cats growing heavy. We're killing it with that show. And we got Black Christmas, the 2019 remake, this Sunday, 3 p.m.
Is that movie as shitty as the 2019 remake?
No, it's pretty good. I can't wait to get into it. There's a lot of discussion there. And yeah, it wasn't a bad movie.
Okay.
So you want to get into it then?
The Black Christmas?
Yeah. Let's do it.
No, TNA tier list. So, I mean, we've all done this. We know how it goes. But if you're a first-time listener, we have five tiers here. We're going to just say, I'm going to keep bringing up, you know, a random list of, you know, TNA past and present people that have gone through there and wrestled there. The only jurisdiction is they've had to wrestle in TNA. We're not doing any tag teams. We're going to separate the people. We could do that a different time, maybe. And our five tiers here are elite, very good, mediocre, meh, and trash.
Yep.
So, with that being said, I'll get started, and I'm going to toss the first one to you, Doug.
Okay. Shark Boy.
I want to get some good discussion out of each guy, too.
Okay, so Shark Boy, for anybody that doesn't remember him, he technically is a TNA original. And he, I think, lasted all the way through to about 2008.
Yeah.
I mean, but he had been using the Shark Boy gimmick for years prior to that. I think.
Yeah.
He came into TNA. He was mainly just used to put over guys, you know, do some jobs. But he had like a cult following. And in 2008, they actually started to push him because they gave him like a Stone Cold Steve Austin type gimmick.
Yeah, when he was chugging the fish juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So, with him, because he is an original, he had a He didn't have a good run. Like I said, he was mainly used just to do job. He was basically the Funaki of WWE. Or not of TNA, I mean.
I agree, but he got over, too, just like Funaki did. People did love him in that role, too.
Exactly. And so you can't really discredit anything he did?
He was a part of the X Division. Like, he...
Yeah. I mean, you weren't going to get, like, star-making performances out of him, but he is, like, the ultimate enhancement talent that, like, okay, you know, we're bringing a guy in first time, you know, or this is going to be this guy's second or third match or whatever the hell. You know, we need him to look good. Sharky, get on out there.
Yeah.
And for that, I would put him, just because he always did his job and he was over, I would say very good.
I mean, it's hard just because you don't have many programs with him to look back on. Or like big rivalries, or what did he do? He did stuff with Eric Young and stuff. Who was he partners with? They partnered him up for a while.
They partnered him up with D-Ray 3000 when they were still in the asylum in Nashville. And then I think around 08-ish, they teamed him up with Curry Man because they did a deal where Christopher Daniels was fired from TNA, but they brought him back under a mask. They teamed the two of them up for a while.
Yeah.
Because Daniels really didn't want to go anywhere else. I mean, they asked him if he wanted to go to Ring of Honor. He said no. But they wanted to bring in the Curry Man gimmick, so.
Eric, what do you think of Shark Boy?
From what I remember, you guys mentioned it. He did this Stone Cold Stunner, but I remember him as more of a jobber. If that's fair to say.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's what I remember about him. So, to me, I put him in mediocre, in the middle.
All right, Stevie?
I'd say he had, like, a interesting gimmick. So I'd say very good. Up to agree with Doug.
All right. I'm actually going to – a fun thing about him, did you know that he actually he set out a lawsuit to Disney over Shark Boy
and Lava Girl.
Yeah, over the movie.
Yeah.
Because
that's one of the things he's remembered mostly for.
Yeah, well, because he had that character trademark for way before that. So, I'm actually going to have to agree with Eric and say mediocre.
Right,
Borderline Shark Boy.
Okay.
Next up, and I'm actually going to start with you for this, Eric, because you've seen this guy still in AEW, so you know what he can do. Kazarian. Frankie Kazarian.
We're not doing as a tag team, right?
But you can judge him
whole,
as a tag team. Everything.
Okay. He was very good as a tag team with Daniels and towards that. They were a very good tag team, but we're not judging that. So I'll say very good. I thought he had a good run. Did he win a world title? He never won a world title, right?
No.
I don't. No, okay.
He was the
Did he have any singles title?
Couple of times.
Yeah, X Division. Yeah. So I say very good. I thought he was very talented and he was very good. He wasn't ever a jobber. He was just a good mid-carder to main event. Not main event, but upper mid-carder.
Okay. He's a very good.
Yeah.
What do you think, Steve?
Yeah.
I would agree. I would say very good.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say very good, too. It seemed like they were going to do something when they put him with Fortune.
Yeah.
And whenever he's with Daniels, he's good, too. And, you know, he was kind of a homegrown talent there. But Kazarian always felt like there was something else that he could do. Like, it always felt like he could get to the next level. He just wasn't. So I'd probably agree it's very good.
the issue, and especially, you know, them putting him in Fortune, is that, like, he was friends with all those guys because they were all technically originals.
Yeah.
And, but they were originals in a sense that, like, they gained notoriety then.
Yeah.
Bobby Roode had been wrestling since, you know, 2000, 2001. AJ, you know, since 99 or 98, 99, whatever, or maybe 96, whatever the hell.
Yeah.
You know, late 90s. Storm had been going since 99, 2000. Frankie Kazarian started in 1999 as well, I believe.
Okay.
But a lot of those guys, you know, but the thing is, they gained notoriety in TNA. That's why they were called TNA Originals. And they were all buddies. So you put them together, and you kind of get that Ric Flair stamp of approval on it.
Yeah.
It's okay, well, we got some here. The problem with Kazarian is that they saw the other guys as big stars. Well, they saw two of the other three guys as big stars. Like James Storm, like everybody said, you know, sometimes he was on, other times he wasn't.
Yeah.
But they had a lot of faith. They wanted Bobby Roode to be like the future of the company, and AJ was basically, he was a franchise.
Yeah, he was on.
Okay. Frankie Kazarian was just kind of there. He was basically like, if Fortune were going to do like 8-man tags,
yeah,
and they were told, all right, look, you guys have to put these other four guys over.
He's taking the fall.
Yeah. They had to, you know, Frankie had to take the fall.
Yeah.
But he was also a talented enough guy, because you got to remember, too, he was Suicide. Obviously, you don't remember that because you're giving me the look.
Well, he was one of the people that was suicidal.
It was originally him. He was the original. Because he went away. All right, so the Suicide character was, and I know you remember this because I bought you the video game.
Yeah.
Which I actually did really like that video game.
It was a fun one.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the company that made it went bankrupt right after they made the game. But Suicide was a video game character, and TNA wanted to promote it because it was on the TNA video game. And so they had Frankie say, you know, I'm going to leave TNA. And, you know, because I failed too much. All of a sudden, Suicide comes out. Now, Frankie actually hurt himself as Suicide.
Yeah.
So Christopher Daniels had to take over for a little while.
Yeah.
But then they were going to – well, Christopher Daniels took over after they got rid of the Curry Man gimmick.
Yeah.
So he took over.
And then TJP got there too, right?
TJP took over the gimmick in 2013. Kazarian had the gimmick, and then Hulk Hogan didn't like the Suicide gimmick, or Hogan and Bischoff hated it. So Hogan said, all right, well, get rid of the character, but Kazarian, if you want, you could still have a job, but you got to come back, as you got to be you. So, you know, they did that. I personally actually like the Suicide character.
He was cool.
Yeah.
A dark character.
But as far as where to put Frankie Kazarian, because he proved there was a lot he could do, I'm going to say very good. So is that where he's going?
Yeah, I think we all agreed.
Yep.
And I'm actually going to start with you for the next one, Doug.
Okay.
Because we have a young lady. You've actually met this young lady, and we've talked a lot about her father on this show. Where would you put Lacey Von Air?
Oh, I.
And I know, I mean, she was a great lady. You know.
As a person, she's a very nice person. As a talent, she was god-awful.
Yeah.
Okay. And I apologize for anybody that's a fan of the Von Erich family, but some people have it and some don't.
Typically don't. Yep.
Beautiful, great look. Maybe, I mean, could talk a little, not much, but yeah, no ring work there.
I mean, and here's the thing, like for a while, I mean, when she got to TNA, they made her change it. But when she was in WWE's developmental system and all that, because she was trained by her uncle, mm-hmm. as a tribute to her uncle, Kevin, she actually wrestled barefoot.
Really?
Yeah. But when she got to TNA, they made her put shoes on.
Yeah.
Which disappointed a lot of guys with foot fetishes, but especially one I know in particular. But we don't need to say his name. But you know who I'm talking about.
What the heck?
Just don't worry about it. Just trust me.
Okay.
I
don't
want to say it.
You know the guy real well.
She played her role in The Beautiful People okay, though. Like, she was a good third to Velvet Madison when Angelina was gone.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that if you really think about it, like, if you look at all the beautiful people, I think she was the best looking of the beautiful people. But she really didn't belong there because she wasn't mean. The beautiful people were supposed to be mean girls.
Yeah, vicious. And, you know, Angelina and Velvet live up to that.
Angelina and Velvet were awful, awful people. And their husbands or fiancés, if Velvet hasn't gotten married yet, are just as bad.
Because yeah.
They're scum. But Lacey is not a bad person.
Yeah. I mean, she seems like a sweetheart, but I mean, she seemed bitchy enough in the role.
But she played the stupid mean girl.
Yeah.
So, like, everybody let her, you know, you can let her get away with it.
Yeah.
That's
where they were, like, teasing the whole kissing and stuff.
Yeah, so.
With the three of them.
Yeah. So, as far as, like, her skills and her work go, I would just, I can't put her in trash.
Put her in May?
I'll put her in May, yeah.
I'd probably agree. Eric, where do you put Lacey on it?
I'll put her in there.
Okay. Stevie?
I would put her in there.
All right. There she goes. Now, this one, it's one of the ones with TNA. It's hard because a lot of people have came through, so this really isn't fair. We are only judging these people on what they did in TNA. Okay? So, tag team, singles, it's all fine, but as long as it happened in TNA.
Now, we're also basically saying, remember, they're not TNA anymore. They're Impact Wrestling.
Yes. So, but under that banner, Impact TNA, when they wrestled there, that is what we're judging. So, when I say Kurt Angle later, we're going to be talking about Kurt Angle's work in TNA.
Fair, Doug?
Yep. Fair to me.
With that being said, the next name on the list is DDP. I'm going to start with you, Doug.
Oh, my God. Here's the thing. Really good match with Raven at that one pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
I think you and I watched it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did when we had it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to get it again. That's the only memorable thing he did, though.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
Because it was him, Raven, and Eric Watts in that little feud, right?
And that little triangle, which they never really explained why.
No.
I mean, anybody that, like, when he says, that piece of crap had been making his life hell for, like, the last 2.5 years, you would automatically think it would have something to do with Kimberly, even though him and Kimberly were already divorced by then, I believe.
Yeah.
And because they got divorced in 2004. And now he's actually, now I believe he's married again, and I believe his wife is in her early 20s. which, you know, good for him.
Yeah.
He's pretty good looking. He marries well, and his daughters are absolutely gorgeous.
He does yoga well, too.
Yeah. So that's why he gets the girls.
He was there for a brief period. Where'd you put him?
He was there for a brief period. He really didn't do anything. I would actually say trash.
Okay, man.
Stevie?
I'll say trash.
All right. Let's trash him. DDP the Great. Just didn't do much there, you know? A lot of people forgot he was even there.
Yeah. I
forgot he was there.
Here's the thing. He came in when TNA was really trying to do their best to get you know, they were trying to become that clear number two to WWE.
Yeah.
And it's just, unfortunately, it just wasn't working.
All right, boys. Next up, we'll go current Rich Swann. Eric, I'll start with you.
I mean, he is a champion, so, I mean, I haven't followed TNA lately, but from what Clinton said last night, I'll go by him because he knows his wrestling. So I'll say very good because he is the TNA world champion.
Well, the Impact Wrestling world champion. The TNA world champion is Moose.
Yeah.
Impact.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Obviously, if you're the world champion, you have to be good at something.
Yeah.
Rich Swann has always been a good athlete, and I've seen some of the, because I do watch some of the clips on YouTube.
Yeah.
I watch them probably more now because Josh Matthews isn't on the call. I mean, you can't really put him in elite yet. I'd say very good.
Yeah, I would too. Hell of an athlete.
Yeah.
Stevie, what do you think?
I'd say very good.
Okay. All right. Next up, Ron Killings. Stevie, I'm going to start with you for this one.
Brock Lesnar.
Ron Killings.
Oh, Ron Killings. You know what? It's tough to say it, but I'd probably say mediocre. That's not my honest opinion.
Okay.
So I have to go with that.
All right. Eric?
I'll say what's the middle?
Mediocre.
Middle of the road.
Okay.
Mediocre.
Okay. I'm actually going to say very good because he was NWA World Champion.
Right, in the early stages.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was.
That's the only time he's ever really won a world title belt.
Yeah, and this was before, you know, the whole Three Live Crew thing.
Which I hated that.
Yeah.
But I would put him at the lower level of very good because he did do a lot there. I didn't like him tagging with Pac-Man Jones either. That was stupid, but he wasn't big.
Yeah, that was stupid.
He was booked more prominent than he's ever been booked in WWE.
Right, but the issue is that for the longest time, from the summer of 2006 to finally in 2007 when they did let him go, or like October, November 2007, he was actually trying to get out of his contract.
Yeah.
Like, he sat out a lot. The only time he would ever come and do stuff is if, like Jeff Jericho said, look, Truth, we need you, you know, just come through the storyline. But he tried to get out of his contract for like a year because he was trying to go back to WWE. And And the Three Live Crew stuff, I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was.
And obviously, he was the workhorse of the group.
He was probably the best worker.
Yeah. He was the best worker in the group. Road Dogg could talk. Conan is the prostate of the group.
Yeah, he could talk.
Oh, fuck Conan.
So where are you putting our truth, Doug?
I'm putting Ron the Truth Killings in the lower level very good.
All right, so we'll put him on the borderline then.
Yeah.
All right, next up, I'll start with you, Doug, because you're probably one of the only guys that will remember him. Relic.
Which, by the way, is killer spelled backwards.
Yeah, Mike Tenay will make sure you know that.
Yeah. And this gimmick was basically the career killer of Johnny the Bull Stamboli. It sucked. It was stupid. Pretty much it. I mean, he looked like he just came out of a cheesy horror movie.
The Black Rain character wasn't really over either.
No, it wasn't working. But they had to do something because they basically had those two guys in to kind of take the place of Judas Macias because Judas Macias got hurt in Puerto Rico. So they had to have the two of them feud with Abyss for a while.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. I mean, I half expect on some episodes of Impact for him to be stalking the beautiful people in the shower and get ready to stab him or whatever.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of hoping. But it's just, it sucked. So it's trash. Eric, turn the porn off and answer the question.
Stevie?
No, I think trash.
Oh, okay.
I would say trash.
All right. Relic is going in trash. Now let's talk about one of the greatest females to ever grace in the ring, Gail Kim.
Who do you want to start with?
I'll start.
Oh, go ahead, Eric.
No, Eric.
I think she's probably the best women's wrestler in TNA history. So I'll put her in the lead.
Okay.
She was.
Yeah,
I'm
going to go outside and play in traffic after I say this, but I'm going to agree with Eric.
Yeah.
Because she's kind of.
The bar.
Huh?
She set the bar for women's wrestling in TNA.
Right,
and probably in a lot of promotions.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Bad run in WWE, but that's because I think they tried to push her too soon.
Yeah, in a weird way. And that was the era of the broad panties and shit. That's not her type of.
No, she hated that shit.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Good reason.
She's a real wrestler.
Because she's a great athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, she's beautiful too. So she kind of. She kind of set that bar as, like, she could be as gorgeous as can be, but still have that, like, that athletic ability and still be considered one of the greatest wrestlers. I mean, some people might actually say, and it could be debatable, she might actually be a better athlete than Trish.
She's a better wrestler than Trish Stratus. That's not debatable. She puts on better matches than Trish Stratus.
Yeah, because Stratus
had, chemistry,
had really good chemistry with three people. Four, if you want to say
Lita.
That. Lita, I thought her chemistry with Mickey was really good, and I can't discount her chemistry with Molly.
Molly, yes.
And Vince McMahon. I'm joking.
Stephanie a little bit, even though she couldn't really.
Yeah, but I still think like it was Lita, Mickey, and Molly were her greatest opponent. I hated the matches with Jazz.
Really?
Yeah. The Victoria matches were actually pretty good.
Yeah, the hardcore match.
Yeah. But with Gail, she was a better wrestler than Trish. And she proved, you know, is she was beautiful, and she could also, she could work. So and,
she retired, right?
Huh?
She's retired, right?
Yeah. And she basically proved that, like, you can't, you don't have to be one or the other. Like, you could be both beautiful and good in the ring.
A good wrestler. Yep.
There was a lot of them back then that, you know, they had to be one or the other. The first one that comes off the top of my head is Candice Michelle. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yep.
Did not know a wrist lock from a wrist watch.
Yeah, I she was starting to get better though. But that's a different conversation. Stevie, what do you think of Gail Kim?
Oh, well, by the way, I'm putting her in elite.
Right.
I would say she is a great wrestler in both companies. So I have to go very good because of her accomplishments. So I'd say very good.
Okay. Three to one, though, I think we'll still put her in elite then.
All right, cool.
Now moving on to someone who is showing to be very popular nowadays. Drew McIntyre.
Well, he was called
Drew
Galloway.
Galloway. Whatever the fuck.
Which, by the way, is his real name.
Yeah.
He livened up that company for a while.
Yeah, he did something. That's kind of where people were like, oh, he is something.
Yeah. Now, again, it was a two-year run. Year and a half run.
Yeah.
Okay, it was a year and a half run. But still, the stuff he did there, because he got his confidence back.
Yeah. For being a 3MB.
Yeah, he got his confidence back. The way he debuted was badass when he attacked the Beatdown Clan with a pipe and busted open low key.
And who was the manager of the Beatdown Clan?
MVP.
It's kind of funny, huh?
Yeah. Lashley was not down clan, though, at that point. He had already left.
Yeah.
But,
how funny that
even though it was brief, he had a very good run.
He did. He was the face of that company for 2 years. Or at least a year and a half.
Very good. I mean, he was the leader of a short-lived faction called The Rising. I mean,
Eric, where are you putting him?
I'll say elite. He was the world champion there too.
All right.
And he turned his square around.
I'd agree. Stevie?
I'd say nah.
Okay. Just wasn't a fan of his work there.
No, I just wasn't really a fan of his work. So I'd give that a nah. I wasn't really a favorite of his. He wasn't really one of my favorites.
All right. So you say very good.
Eric says elite. CB says meh.
And I say mediocre.
Oh, God.
You say mediocre? Wow.
Because
are we going to do?
He turned his career around. He was the face of it, but the company sucked when he was there.
All right.
It was unwatchable.
Somebody get a hold of Clinton and say he has to go on a 15 so he can break the tie.
He was the face of the company when it was pretty much unwatchable. So it was, it's not really.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even watch it. I'm just saying. We'll just say mediocre.
All right. I mean,
no, let's put him on the borderline of very good and mediocre.
Yeah.
I mean, think of all the
I'll change mine to
been through. I mean, they ended his push in WWE, you know, in 2010 because he got his ass whooped by a woman.
Ooh.
His wife at the time, Taryn Terrell.
He beat him up?
Yeah, she got. They got into a fight at all because they were together. They were married. They got into a fight at a hotel on like SummerSlam weekend, SummerSlam 2010 weekend, and she beat the shit out because he didn't want to hit her.
Yeah.
Damn.
So they fired her, and then they got a divorce, and then like 6 months later, WWE ended his push.
Because
you better meet that one, pal. And the fucked up thing is that when he got to when he got to Impact, she was there.
Yeah.
And she was one of the top, you know, she was one of the top female heels in the company.
Yeah, she was doing good there.
Yeah, and then she actually left because she was married to somebody else, and she actually had kids with this person, so I'm pretty sure she didn't beat up this new husband.
That's good.
But, everything he had been through, and then you would think, oh, God, you know, he's going to the same place where his ex-wife is, and if she gets mad, she'll beat the shit out of him again.
Yeah, so he's on.
There you go.
Next up.
It should have been.
A legend. Not quite a TNA original, but a lot of people consider him that. Maybe you could call him that. Samoa Joe. Stevie, I'm starting with you.
Samoa Joe. Well, his in the ring, he was a very good wrestler. But, I just can't picture him as an announcer, though. I think he should be in the ring. So I'd probably say
remember, very we're just good judging him on his TNA run.
I know, I'm just saying. I'd say in his TNA run, very good. I was just putting it out there. He's not wrestling right now, so.
Right.
So I'd say very good.
He was one of those guys when he came in 2005 and he was – basically he had this, he was unstoppable. He had the undefeated streak. Then, you know, he had those classic matches with Kurt Angle, but he was never, I didn't like him as a babyface because I thought he was just too arrogant prick to be a babyface. But his run as a whole, I would have to actually have to say elite.
Eric?
I'm going to say elite, too. I mean, he wasn't the face of the company, but he was a top guy for a long time. Even he changed the X division. Him, Daniels, and AJ had one of the greatest matches in TNA history. So. Not alone, I'd put him in the league.
He had great matches with everybody, too. Angle, Christian, Sting, AJ, Daniels, Jarrett.
He was part of the Main Event Mafia.
I mean, his stint in the Main Event Mafia would probably be the only thing I would talk bad about, because he should have been fighting. But he... everything else he brought to the table was very, very good, so I'd put him in elite. Yeah, so we'll throw him in elite. All right,
cool.
Who's next? I'll tell you who's next. Awesome Kong.
I thought you were going to say Goldberg's next.
Never
Awesome Kong. I think she's elite. She was one of the top women in that company too. Her and Gail Kim. She's just below Gail as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. I mean, she was a powerhouse there. She was the big dominant woman. She was kind of the precursor to the Nia Jaxes and the Nyla Roses and all that.
Yeah, but Tong could work.
Way better than both of them combined.
Yeah.
Great wrestler.
I mean, and she'll always have a special place in my heart for beating the shit out of Bubba the Love Sponge. The only thing she did.
She was just intriguing.
The only thing she did disappointed me is she didn't kill the bastard.
Great women's knockout.
Polarizing.
Her WWE run was what it was, but we're not talking about that. What she did in TNA was legendary, so I'd say elite.
Yep.
I agree with that. And here's the thing. She could never really make it as a babyface. She always had to be a heel.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, look,
that.
No offense, but she's a bad guy. She's a beast, you know, and that's not a negative way.
And I don't think
there's money there.
She ever actually legitimately hurt somebody in the ring.
She was safe.
She was safe. Hopefully Nia Jax needs to watch some awesome Kong footage.
Yeah.
And, you know, learn a couple of pointers. So maybe she can get off Reginald for a few minutes. And unless she's breaking his back, and then keep going. And then keep going. Get that fucker on TV. But I would agree and say Awesome Kong is definitely elite. I mean, she was all elite for a while, but
yeah, you saw that worked out.
Yeah.
Stevie, what do you think of the Awesome Kong?
I'd put her in the elite.
Yeah. I mean, of course.
Yeah.
All righty. Next up, Eric Young. Super Eric.
I'd say very good.
Here's the thing. He could never be that, like, you know, no-nonsense heel. He either had to be a psychopathic heel or he had to be a goofy-ass babyface.
Yeah.
I liked him as both.
Yeah, he was good at both. I mean, Team Canada, he was all right, but he was kind of just the wild man there.
Yeah.
And the stuff with ODB was hilarious. The kind of response to Daniel Bryan and making him their underdog babyface, it was too little too late. TNA was already going down. The match was cool, but it wasn't.
I knew what they were doing. Yeah. I personally didn't have a problem with it.
Because I like him.
Yeah, I liked him too, and I also knew it bothered Eric, so that's one of the reasons I was
I wasn't a huge fan of Eric Young, but I respected his work.
It wasn't even necessarily the fact that it bothered Eric. I think that were we part of that stupid ass group with with a buddy of yours or something at that time?
I think so.
That We Talk Wrestling, where I thought all those guys were pricks.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, and I think they had a problem with Eric Young because they were all sucking off Daniel Bryan. And they had a problem with Eric Young being the champion. So because I hated every last fucking one of them, they all sucked and you know it.
Only one of them was my friend.
I mean, I really didn't. Well, I didn't necessarily have an issue with him. I just had an issue with the fact that he basically led that circus. I mean,
your dirty laundry, Eric. Yeah, where are you putting
him? I would put him at very good. But, like, my point to the whole thing was just the fact that, like, when people talk shit about it, especially if I didn't like those people, I would always defend it.
Yeah. I mean, I liked his other stuff. I was happy for him. Eric, where are you putting him?
I'm putting him very good.
Stevie?
I would say very good.
I respect his work.
Yeah, there was nothing wrong with it. There was nothing wrong with his work. It's just, again, you could see what they were doing. Why did you just lick your computer? All right. What I saw. But anyway, I mean, there was nothing really wrong with his work. It's just some of it was better than all. But the whole him winning the world title, especially after they did the thing with Daniel Bryan, I feel like that if they weren't going downhill, it could have worked. But again, it was just 6 months later, they were kicked off Spike TV.
Yeah, it was kind of just a response, it seemed like.
Yeah. Well, they were kicked off Spike TV because Dixie Carter secretly had Vince Russo on the payroll. And once Spike executives found out about it, they said, fuck you, you're out.
Is that really cool?
Yeah.
All right, Eric.
Well, it's one of the reasons.
Bobby Lashley.
I'll say Elite because he was from what I know, he was a world champion. Wasn't he like the face of that company?
For a while. He was kind of their Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. And he turned his career around there too. But as you said, with Drew McIntyre, maybe it's kind of the same thing. During their bad time, their downhill time. I want to say Elite, but I'll just say very good.
Dutchy?
Okay. So, the first time when he was there, he went there in 2009. And, you know, he was having a good run, but he made one mistake. He brought his wife with him.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And...
yeah.
She thought she was the Bonnie Steamboat of that era. And I think having his wife with him ruined him. Because she was the reason why he left WWE. And it was kind of like a Jerry Lawler type situation. They fired her because she sucked.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley didn't think she sucked. I mean, maybe she blew. But, so he left because he wanted to defend. They weren't married at the time. They were just, they were engaged.
Now.
No, they got divorced. That's the reason why they let him back into Impact. Because
he left for MMA.
He left for MMA for a while. Because he wanted to focus on that, and she wanted him to focus on that because that's where he made more money. And then when he went back to TNA in 2013, I believe he was either divorced from her while in Impact, divorced her after he left Impact. But they were divorced by the time he got back to WWE. I mean, in some of his Impact run, he had another pain in the ass with him, the guy that led that American top team, Dan Lambert. Who, that guy was a fuck. Well, first of all MMA fighters are fucking bricks. And all MMA coaches are fucking bricks. Like, I don't like MMA fighters. Right?
Real athletes.
They're real assholes. Right? I think Dana White's a bigger piece of shit than Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I hate Dana White.
But you know, that's not really, you know, who gives a shit about Dana White. But the Lashley thing, especially when he was kind of when he was doing the whole MMA thing, and then, like, you know, everybody, because he was even, like, half the gimmick was, you know, MMA is better than pro wrestling. Well, then get the fuck out of pro wrestling, you asshole. But what he's doing now, like, what he did back in Impact was kind of a precursor to what he's doing now. So I'm actually going to say, to be honest with you, even though it was a bad time for the company, I'm still going to say he was elite. Stevie,
what do you think of Bobby Lashley?
I like Bobby Lashley. So I put him in the elite.
Alrighty. I'm actually going to go very good, but we can still put him in elite.
Well, it's 2-2. Because Eric said very good.
The borderline.
And the borderline.
Now, a young man that was probably thought of to be one of the futures of the company didn't really totally work out. Almost got there. Really known for being in America's Most Wanted.
Oh, no.
Chris Harris. You want to start
it off? America, no. Not America.
Huh? Huh?
Not the show, the attacking.
I'm glad he clarified that. We can all sleep easy now knowing that we're not talking about the TV show. Eric, I'm proud of you.
Which is the TV show is actually coming back on Monday.
That's a plug.
I love that show.
I'm used to it being on Saturdays.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
All right. Anyway, we're not trying to plug Fox's schedule. Is it coming back on Fox?
We can talk about that another day.
Okay, cool. all right. Chris Harris, this is a guy Vince Russo wanted to make world champion. Vince Russo wanted to make him the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. I swear to God. Vince Russo has admitted this.
He was good, though. I mean, for what he was, he was good.
Yeah, in 2004.
I liked him.
I liked him, too, but the problem was is that he couldn't capitalize on his potential.
Yeah.
And
I think he left too early, too.
In 2004, when Vince Russo, basically they had it set up, it was March 17, 2004, and Chris Harris was going to win the world title that night. And he didn't, because Jeff Jarrett didn't sell the company to Dixie Carter yet.
Mm.
Jeff Jarrett still had all the say, and Jeff Jarrett basically said, look, he's not ready. You know, so no.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't happening. I'll drop the belt to him at a later time, but right now, like, it can't happen. So they set it up to where Harris was going to win the world title in a cage the next month. It's actually April 21st, 2 days before my 18th birthday. And they actually had to run an angle because Jeff Jarrett changed his mind again. And so they ran an angle where Raven actually beat him up earlier in the show. And because what was actually happening too at that point was they were afraid. Jeff Jarrett didn't want to break up America's Most Wanted. That was the issue. That was Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett didn't have a personal problem with Chris Harris. Yeah. Jeff Jarrett had a problem with breaking up a TNA tag team that he thought was very successful. He was afraid.
They were.
He was afraid that Storm would flounder without Chris Harris.
I mean, the opposite.
But again, this was 2004.
Yeah,
so it just wasn't. He was afraid of leaving James Storm out in the cold. That's why he didn't want to drop the title to Chris Harris. Or at least that's what I've heard. And I think those words have actually come out of his mouth. I don't know what the truth is. Although I do kind of believe Jeff, and like that kind of being this line of thinking, especially since James Storm is a Tennessee guy. But the thing with Harris is that, like, you know, when they broke up America's Most Wanted, because then afterwards, Jim Cornette and Vince Russo and all those guys, which, and Jeff himself, actually saw big money in James Storm going on his own. And Russo was just like, all right, well, Harris can, you know, be this big star now too. And it just, he didn't click. Storm did because they gave him Jacqueline.
Yeah.
And he made that work.
Yeah, but he's still tag team guy. Because Beer Money
Storm,
is what made him work. Yeah,
because they realized, okay, you know, it's working, but it's not working.
Yeah.
So we'll put him in another team.
But Chris Harris, I mean, I remember he was in that King of the Mountain match, no? Was he ever in a King of the Mountain match?
He was in the first one in 2004, and he was actually in the one in 2007. He actually had to replace Jeff because Jeff was going to be in the match, but Jeff had just unfortunately lost his wife.
In 2004?
In 2007.
Okay.
In 2007, and they were actually, Dixie Carter was actually pushing, actually told Jeff, no, this is, you know, it's the anniversary, it's the 5-year anniversary of the company you started, you have to be here. And he chose, no, I'm going to stay home with my daughters. He did the right thing.
Yeah.
And Chris Harris got the spot. And he just didn't click. He clicked with Storm, and he clicked like when he would go against Storm.
Yeah.
But it just, other than that, he really just didn't do much.
He wasn't the best talker.
No, he couldn't cut a promo. Storm was the promo guy.
Yeah. He was badass. He had a look. He
had a hell of a finisher.
Yeah. He could work.
Yeah, he was a great athlete. He had a great finish. But it's just, unfortunately, I'm going to put him in meh.
Jesus, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Stevie.
Well, I'll have to put him, I'll maybe put him at mediocre. That's that mediocre.
That's fair. Eric?
I'll put him mediocre. I thought he had potential, but it just didn't rise to that top level.
Yeah, we'll lift him up to mediocre. Alrighty. Elix Skipper.
Time, baby.
Ooh. Time. Elix Skipper, you remember him? He was in the really good tag.
No, I don't.
That's right. With,
yeah.
With Daniels.
Yeah.
Christopher Daniels.
And Go Key. I mean, Low Key.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
Hmm.
Yeah. I liked Elix Skipper because I thought he was a great athlete. When they gave him the mic and let him talk, he could cut a promo.
Yeah, very charismatic.
Okay, very charismatic guy. He was very flexible. He was a flexible son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, outside of Triple X, he really just didn't do much.
Yeah.
I remember when they tried to put him in that fucking Diamonds in the Rough.
Yeah.
With Simon Diamond and David Young. Oh, my fucking God. like, I can understand they were trying to find something for him to do, but first of all, you're getting punished by being put in a tag team with David Young.
Yeah. He's pretty much the only diamond in that rough.
Yeah. And the group wasn't even named after him. It was named after Simon Diamond. I'm going to say mediocre only because they never really found the right spot for him outside of Triple X.
I mean, he was a good under X Division talent.
Yeah.
Stevie, what do you think?
Felix Skipper. I'd put him at probably mediocre.
Alrighty.
So that'd be my choice.
What do you think, Ed?
I think mediocre too. Oh, I'm sorry. I say mediocre.
Alright, let's put him at mediocre. Doug, you're a pig. Next up, I really like this guy, so I feel bad we're about to shit on him. Scott Hall.
Did you just say we're going to shit on somebody just because I stunk out the room?
No.
What do you do, though?
Huh?
Never mind.
Who?
I was asking what you did, but don't answer.
I was just going to... I don't think we need... never mind. I was going to admit what I was going to do by saying, do you really want me to admit that I did so-and-so on air, but we'll let it go.
No.
Somebody needs to send me a new pair of underwear.
What if they do?
We love you, Doug.
Somebody has to. All right, so Scott Hall. He was a guy that was known as Razor Ramon, right?
Yeah.
God, we were way past those days. Trash. Yeah, I mean, he's known as one of the guys that went there and did not give a shit.
Yeah.
And did not try. It was well past his prime. I mean, he no-showed a pay-per-view. He was supposed to team with Kevin Nash and Samoa Joe. Decided not to show up. He showed up a year later at that very event and actually caused some hell at ringside with the ICP during Samoa Joe and Kevin Nash's match.
Yeah.
Kevin Nash went in the back and said, well, you wanted him to show up the Turning Point. It was just a year late. Eric, where are you putting him?
I'm putting in trash, unfortunately.
Stevie?
I would say trash.
All right, let's trash him. And let's get to his buddy, Kevin Nash. Did a little more, but is it enough? What do you think, Doug?
It's enough to put him in mediocre.
Yeah.
Trash.
I kind of like the stuff that he did, especially like, you know, when he was basically kind of like the sidekick. But he also, like, because his character was, he admitted, you know, I do this shit for money.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to do this for anything else. I'm not doing this because I love the business. I'm doing this because I want to get paid.
It kind of felt a little lazy, though. Like, the character, it was a good character that was true to who he was. But it did kind of feel like they don't give a fuck.
Right. Because in real life, he didn't give a fuck. So, I mean, he was being himself.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, himself is a piece of shit.
I like the stuff he did with Alex Shelley.
That was actually kind of cool.
Yeah. And so different, too, yeah.
Yeah, the paparazzi shit or whatever. Yeah. There was a segment one time where he actually ripped off Wrestler's Court. And, like, him, Alex Shelley, and Austin Starr, Austin Aries, were in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And Kevin Nash is standing on a... standing on a toilet in the stall and basically he was the judge and he ruled in favor of Austin Starr or whatever. And then like the camera pans to him and he's not wearing pants, like bare ass. I mean, he's looking ass, but,
Nash?
Yeah.
You just said Kevin Nash had a nice looking ass.
Yeah. I was paying him a compliment.
Okay.
Everybody needs to be told that every once in a while.
Well, thank you, Doug.
So where are you putting them, mediocre?
Yeah.
Eric, where are you putting them?
I'm putting in trash. You know how I feel about Kevin Nash.
So you're putting them in
a... Trash.
Stevie?
Remember that episode I ripped him all show?
Yeah, I remember. You hate Kevin.
I would say mediocre. I can't really put him in the trash.
Yeah, I agree. Let's put him in mediocre. He did a lot more than Hall. Not much more, but I don't know.
He did enough to go up two spots higher, and I just wrote Scott Hall.
You fucking dick. All right. Let's go to another kind of underrated X Division guy, Sanjay Dutt. I'm going to just keep starting with you, Doug, and we'll go down.
I didn't like Sanjay Dutt.
Yeah.
However, he's a really good talent. And he could do a lot of that high-flying X Division stuff. And he was okay for a while, but then when he did the whole, like, guru thing and he ruined Jay Lethal's wedding and all that because he was in love with SoCal Val, and she was completely useless. But I mean, his run as a whole, I would say mediocre.
Good in the ring. Agent in WWE, right? Or did they already fire him?
I think he's gone now.
Okay.
Because I think he got furloughed, and I don't think they brought him back.
He was there for a while, though, a little bit.
Yeah, him, Sean Daivari, and
Jeff, right?
And Jeff and Chris Park, Abyss, all came in at the same time.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Park and Jared are the only ones that are still there. Sanjay is still there. I fucked up.
It's okay.
Because Daivari's gone, and I got them confused.
Is the other one gone, too?
Which one?
Arya Daivari.
No, he's still working there.
Okay.
Sanjay and Daivari look alike.
Jesus Christ. Eric.
I would say mediocre.
All right. Stevie.
I say mediocre.
All right. Let's put Sanjay in mediocre. Now let's bring it back to the female side of things and talk about the ever gorgeous. You're not going to have nice things to say about her, even though I was a fan for a long time. Velvet Sky.
All right. I think she was very over with the crowd, and I thought she had like a good backstory.
Yeah.
Now how she scratched and clawed and scratched and clawed.
Yeah.
But I thought her work was dog shit.
Yeah. Angelina could wrestle, she couldn't.
Right.
And I think she's known as the one woman's champion, like the one knockouts champion. That was not a good wrestler, you know.
No,
like the knockouts are known. Very prominently, but the beautiful people characters were very over heels too.
Yeah.
She always had a prominent role.
Yeah, she had a prominent role, and this is before, because you got to remember, for the longest time, she was engaged to Chris Sabin.
Yeah.
And then she fell for that bully dick.
Yeah.
And Bully Ray was a legitimate dick.
Yeah.
So, the talent was there as long as she was a heel and like a cut promos. She was kind of like she's the Michael Hayes of the beautiful people. As in, she could do the talk, she could talk and all that. She could talk everybody kind of into the arena, but her work was the drizzling shits.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm just going to say mediocre.
Eric.
I was saying, yeah, she was gorgeous, but we're not judging that. So I'd say mediocre.
All right, Stevie.
I'd say mediocre.
All right. I'm putting her at very good.
I've done 3-1.
No. Oh, I know it. Tara, the former Victoria, the woman that walked around with the spider.
I liked her run.
Did you?
Yeah.
How much?
I mean, I'm still going to say it was just mediocre.
Okay.
But I still thought it was a good run. And be careful, I got a fart again.
Jesus Christ. Eric, where are you putting her?
I'll say meh. All
right. Stevie?
Well, she had a good run in the wrestling business, so I'd say mediocre.
All right. Go ahead and put her in mediocre, Doug.
And you
Jesus
need to
Christ. All right, let's talk about one of the greatest of all time. One of the best to do it. The phenomenal one.
I thought you were going to say somebody else. That methane cloud was cloud in your mind.
Why everybody came here. The phenomenal one. Pope, D'Angelo De Niro.
Pope?
Yeah, what do you think, Doug? Pope. Hot twist.
I'm going to say meh.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he could have done something, but they dropped the ball with him in 2010 when they didn't make him the world champion.
Yeah, he should have beat AJ instead of Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, but it didn't happen, and then, you know, he had had all those injuries, and it wasn't working. So, yeah, I'm just going to say man.
All right. Eric. Pope, D'Angelo, De Niro.
I say trash.
I would go with trash.
Trash.
All right. I'm going to actually say meh, too. So we'll put him on the borderline.
Well, you and I both said meh, right?
Yeah, they said trash.
Okay.
So we'll put him there. And, Eric, this is going to be a hard one for you.
Uh-oh.
What name did Okada go by in TNA?
Okada.
When he was the photographer, too?
Yeah.
He was Okada?
Yeah.
Okada.
I forgot he was in TNA.
Yeah,
I love him.
Yeah, he was Samoa Joe's. This, I'm going to put it in trash.
I would say.
Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I would say trash. This is before his great run.
Yeah, and it had nothing to do with him. New Japan wanted him to become a star, so they sent him to the States to get seasoning. This is what TNA gave him. This is known for really severing the ties between New Japan and TNA.
Yep.
New Japan was here.
This was 2011, right?
Yeah. That, they were not happy with this. And then they pulled him. And they brought him back. Because they sent them there to get seasoning, and that's what TNA did with them. Don't
yeah,
put
this,
that crinkle in your head. It's true.
I'm trying to think. Was this a Bischoff call?
Yeah, I think it might have been Bischoff. Because they did the cameraman shit with Pope, too.
Well, he spied on Pope.
Yeah. It wasn't good. Where are you putting him, Doug?
I'm unfortunately going to put him in trash. I mean, and to be honest, I'm not a fan of Okada anyway.
Yeah.
That's why I celebrated when he wasn't the one that debuted for AEW as Christian.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was just, I mean, TNA really fucked him over.
Yeah, they didn't give him anything.
Yeah.
Stevie, where would you put him?
I would have to put him in the trash.
All right. Now let's move on to the man you just said. Probably the opposite of trash. Christian Cage.
For as long as he was there, which was 3 years.
Yeah.
I thought he had a very good run.
Am I wrong to say this 3 years was better than anything he did in WWE? Besides maybe the TLC match.
You're not wrong. Okay. You are.
You're not wrong.
You are correct.
Because him just a lot like I know I mentioned him earlier, but Kurt Angle, those two are guys I would actually say are TNA guys.
Yeah.
Because Christian really went there and made a name for himself. He made it a big deal. Yes. And when he won the title for the first time, it was such a sweet moment.
Yeah, I mean, him, Kurt, some people might say Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
I throw another name in there, Rhino.
Yeah.
More than likely, you know, probably Team 3D.
Yeah. Well, let's not go through all our names, but where would you put them?
I said very good.
Okay. Eric, where would you put them?
Don't you ever listen to me.
Not too much.
I'll say Elite. He had great storyline.
Stevie?
I would say Elite.
I'm going Elite, too. You got outvoted, Doug. Christian Cage made a name for himself there. Now, let's talk about Tom, his problem solver that came with him.
That poor bastard. I mean,
they
wanted to do something with him, but to be honest with you, I would just say meh.
I like the three of them together. Him, AJ, and Christian.
Yeah, I like Tom Cole. Okay.
I'd say mediocre. Eric?
Tom Cole was pretty cool. I'd say mediocre, too.
Stevie?
I would go with mediocre.
Now, did you want to get a speed round in? Because we're going to have to do a part two, I'd say.
Yeah, more than likely we're going to have to do a part two. Because there's a lot to still cover.
Yeah.
We didn't even scratch the surface. I mean, I scratched my balls a couple of times, but we didn't scratch the surface.
So we'll do a quick speed round and take it home.
Okay.
And we'll save the rest for... Because I do want to get to a lot of these names, so I don't want to rush through too many people in the speed round.
Right.
You guys know the speed round. I'm gonna list a few more names here and just give me where would you put them right off the bat.
Now, are we actually going to do speed for this round like we usually do, or do we not have enough time? Yeah.
All right. Ric Flair.
Trash.
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 Chris Sabin.
Sabin, I would put very good.
Yeah, very good.
Very good.
TJ Perkins.
Mediocre.
Meh.
Trash.
I do have to throw Odin for this one.
Put him in meh. Jesus Christ. Mickey James.
Very good.
Very good.
Very good.
Very good. Mr. Anderson.
Very good.
Definitely very good.
Very, very good.
Eli Drake.
Very good.
I did. So I'm going to say very good.
I'd say very good.
Tessa Blanchard.
If she wasn't such a bitch, I would say elite, but I'm going to say just say very good.
I'd say very good.
I'd say very good.
I think she's gorgeous.
All right, very good. And for our last one, we'll get discussion out of this one because we are finally going to talk about the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
I mean, obviously,
absolutely elite.
I mean, if he's not, I mean, this was his company. He decided to leave, which for good reason. I mean, it was either leave or murder Dixie Carter. I mean, I would have put the second one. But
I thought you were going to say something else, but I'm not going to say it.
You and I are almost thinking along the same lines, but I'm thinking more perverted than you, I think.
Yeah, I know.
I'm pretty sure. But I won't say it, even though I kind of already just did. But no, he's got the lead.
Eric?
You with the faith of company in the lead.
Stevie?
I would say elite.
Yeah, I mean, he was his booking was not always strong. They booked him bad a lot, even though he was the face. They did not give him the John Cena treatment.
No, they didn't.
They had him fight for the TV belt a couple times.
Yeah.
Sons of bitches. It's AJ Styles, you know. WWE's booked him more prominent.
Right.
Which is sad. They mismanaged him quite a few times, but he amazing elite.
I mean, and remember, they wanted him to come back. Like in 2016, they had the deal set on the table, and then they were going to have him come back, but then he changed his mind and said, you know what, fuck, no thank
you.
Going to the dance.
Yeah, and Dixie actually thought about suing him. Because he actually did, like, he kind of half-signed the contract.
Yeah.
He didn't half-sign the contract, but he agreed to the deal and changed his mind. And Dixie, her infinite wisdom, thought, well, he agreed to the deal, so therefore he's under contract. Now, nothing was in writing.
Yeah.
I swear to God. Some people, there's an old expression out there. When I worked at Walmart, one of the guys I worked with used to say, you know, some of the people that are in charge around here can't even run a lemonade stand.
Yeah.
Dixie Carter would fall into that category. I think she would only be suited to run one place.
What?
The Moonlight Bunny Ranch in Las Vegas, Nevada.
All right. On that note, that was it at Tier List Part 1. We will be definitely doing a part 2 at some point. Make sure to turn in tomorrow for Scaredy Cats, 3 p.m. Make sure to tune in next week for WrestleMania 10.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Yeah. Got some nice things coming up. I mean, Peacock's trying to fuck up the nice things we have coming up. But
they're coming. Eric, Stevie, this was a blast. Thanks for coming out early.
This was a blast.
You're welcome anytime.
And I'm sorry for the methane poisoning.
It's okay. And Unscripted Wrestling will be back to its normal programming next week, Friday at 6:30. So tune into that.
All right. Yep. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
All right, see you, guys.
Yep, you're welcome. Later.